Take your Bibles, go to Chronicles chapter 34, 2 Chronicles chapter 34. Okay, 2 Chronicles 34, let's read verses 1 through 3, and I'll read verse 1, and then you read verse 2 with me. 2 Chronicles 34, verse 1. Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned in Jerusalem 130 years. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and walked in the ways of David his father, and declined neither to the right hand nor to the left. For in the 8th year of his reign, while he was yet young, he began to seek after the God of David his father. And in the 12th year, he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem from the high places, and the groves, and the carved images, and the molten images. Let's pray together. Father, thank you again for your word and your precious truth. I pray that, Lord, please, you would help us tonight, instruct us, and Lord, help us, please, to let your word guide us, and Lord, in our decision-making and how we behave. And Father, please, strengthen us as your people to live for you, for your glory. You can have a seat there. Keep your Bible open. I realize Brother and Mrs. Doggett just went on a vacation for Thanksgiving, and but I also know there are people that are going to be around family for the holidays. Maybe a more timely event for this message would have been before Thanksgiving, but I think it can affect all of us, and I hope it dominates all of our thinking. The holidays can be a blessing of a time if you let the Lord lead you and help you. If you don't, they're very stressful and you can't wait for them to be over. Be careful how you go through the holiday season. Somebody made this statement when I first got saved and it always stuck with me. It takes a lot of character to maintain your Christianity in an unscheduled environment. It's easy to be in the cycle and routine of work, home, sleep, work, home, sleep. But when you stop it for 3 or 4 days or 2 weeks, what do you do when you're free to do whatever you want to do? Well, if you aren't careful, you can stress yourself out because you didn't pace yourself or you didn't take control of what was supposed to be happening and you let the environment control you. So be careful. The season can be a blessing, but I've watched it be full of stress too. For people, and everybody doesn't enjoy it the same. I want you to be able to enjoy it. When you start thinking about families and the holidays and spending time together, you think about this. There are some in our families who are not saved. There are others who are saved, but they don't go to church. Then there's all types of people who are saved, but they don't live right. And then there's all types of churches out there that aren't the right type of church, not based on my opinion, but based on what the Bible says. In 2 Chronicles 34, where we read, Josiah starts walking with God at 8 years old. If Josiah ends up being the greatest king since David, that I believe the most spiritual king and the last king that God can bless in Israel. But it's interesting how it starts as an 8-year-old boy. We would call that a second grader, if you want to get that helps you picture it. Jesus was questioning the doctors in the temple at age 12. That's why somebody said, how children are pictured in the Bible, I wonder if sometimes our expectations are too low. But here, if you look at that passage, it says Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign. And verse 2 says he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and he started walking with God. Then verse 3. For in the 8th year of his reigning, so if he was 8 years old when he started to reign, and he's been reigning 8 years, how old is he? So he's 16 years old, watch what he does. While he was yet young, he began to seek after the God of David, his father. So he does that from age 16 until, watch this, and in the 12th year. So, let's do the math again. He started king at 8 years old. He's now been reigning for 12 years, so how old is he? He's 20. So at age 20, he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem from the high places and the groves and the carved images and the molten images. Do you realize what happened in the chapter before in 2 Chronicles 33? Manasseh, the worst king that Israel ever had, the straw that broke the camel's back where God said, that's it, I'm going to judge you and there's no getting out of this. That's in the chapter right before this. He dies. Amon, his son, reigns for 2 years. And the people kill him, And now Josiah's dad and granddad have both stood for wickedness to the point where they were killed. Now Josiah comes in. Could he not have easily followed in his father's footsteps? It's interesting, as an 8-year-old boy, somebody helped him say, you can either be like your daddy and die a horrible death like Amon your father, or you can live for the Lord and do right. And Josiah ends up being, Josiah had help breaking the cycle. For Josiah to stand 4 years later, after he starts walking with God, he starts purging the kingdom. He had to stand against, think about his family, he had to stand against to do right. Josiah didn't want to just do right. Josiah starts laboring for, and God gives him revival. God gives him a sweet time in the Bible. Now, he never got revival, but he did his best to lead the people to make the conditions favorable for revival. God voiced his opinion of this revival through Jeremiah in Jeremiah 3:10. It says, yet for all this, her treacherous sister Judah hath not turned unto me with her whole heart, but feignedly, saith the Lord. So, well, okay, picture this. You say, how come it didn't work? Well, if you're the king and you say, all of you are getting right with God or you're going to be executed. Okay, are you going to have hypocrites? Sure. You're going to have a whole bunch of volunteers. Okay, count me in. I'll be here next Sunday. Okay, so it was a forced spirituality, which never works, but just I see Josiah trying. Now let's switch it to us. If you had family members who don't understand your love for the Lord and the Word of God, it's good to know that you're not the first, right? Think about this. Noah's immediate family was saved from the flood. Not his dad, not his grandpa. It was just him, his wife, and their boys and their wives. You don't think there was family conflict with Noah while he was building the ark? Think about this. Gideon had to stand against his father's idol of Baal and burn it down for God to use it. Remember, God called him, and then God said, okay, put you to the test. Can you stand against your family? His daddy was the one who built the main idol in the town. So what did Gideon have to do? Read it. Judges chapter 6. He had to go into the town, cut it down, and burn it in front of the whole city. This is the son of the guy that threw everybody for a loop. What was Gideon's test? He had to stand against his family to do what God wanted him to do. How about this? Vashti and Esther had to stand against her own drunken husband in Esther chapter 1. He wanted her to be lewd and rude, immodest, and she said, I'm not doing that. It cost her everything. She stood against, you could say, her family. There are some who are religious but lost. There are some who are saved, but they have no idea what it means to surrender to the Lord. They literally think that you go to church to be spiritual, when you're at your house, you don't live spiritually because God doesn't care. That's literally a huge thinking. Some of them are in churches where they aren't taught and trained about the Christian life at all. Literally, they're taught self-help sermons and maybe Jesus dying for salvation every once in a while. That's if it's, who even knows nowadays? But a lot of it's self-help psychology nowadays. That's what's in a lot of churches. So, if a family member you have doesn't go to a church where they see people saved, where they're trying to get people saved and follow the Lord and believers' baptism, they don't go to a church where the Spirit of God moves on people's hearts and changes lives, then I would think this. It would be best if you don't drive them away and destroy relations. Instead of getting mad, just remember Luke 12:48, Jesus told us, he that knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required, and to whom men have committed much, of him will they ask the more. If you get to go to a good church that teaches the Bible, praise the Lord, I'm learning that's not the majority. Then don't pride yourself. Just think, God's given me a whole lot, then God must be requiring more of me. God must expect more of me because of what God's allowed to be into my life. Here's some practical points on how to behave around unspiritual family members. Number one, your family members need to see good Christianity much more than they need to hear of your Christianity. You have to learn in the Christian life, if they're not asking your opinion, they don't want to hear it. And Pastor Owens used to teach me, a Christian testimony and life is very powerful to those who won't listen. And you can't keep preaching to it. Once I've witnessed to somebody one time, I don't witness to them every time I get around them. You know, if I see somebody this Christmas for the first time, it's not going to be, well, gave you the gospel last year. What do you think about it? Been praying about it? I've been praying for you. You witness to them once and you pray for them after that. But you can't keep addressing it every time. I had one guy in a church where we were at. He said, well, I'm getting ready. And I was like, for what? Got a reunion coming. We had one last year. And boy, this year at Christmas, I'm going to give it to him again. And I was like, you might want to back off a little bit. Have you talked to every family member you have? Oh, every one of them. Every one of them. I'm told they're going to die and go to hell if they don't get saved. I said, and you've done this for how many years? 10 years in a row? Do they look forward to seeing you? You understand? You might want to back off and hush and hit your knees a lot more, right? We witness one time, and then we pray for them, that the Holy Spirit of God will use that, right? They need to see that it's real in your life. They need to see that it's not a fad and a cycle that you're going through, right? I'd be careful about preaching about what's wrong with them. Your walk talks and your talk talks, but your walk talks louder than your talk talks, right? That old statement, that's good. Be careful. Don't try to get into a spiritual argument with anybody. 2 Timothy 2:23 says, foolish and unlearned questions avoid knowing that they do gender strifes. Why would you talk to anybody about conflicts in your church? Every church has conflicts. But why would you give them one more, they don't go to church, so give them one more reason to not go to church? I heard family member, boy, I got to talk to my, great uncle or whatever, and boy, I just told him all the frustrations of our Christian school. And I said, is he saved? Oh, no, but boy, he said that. I was like, why would you talk to a lost family member about any problems or conflicts you have? They need to hear of salvation. They don't need to hear of all your gripes and criticisms. The thought, God says, avoid things that cause strife. Your life may be the only Bible that some of your family will read. And if they ask you to pray, you know, I think it's been a while, but when I'm with family members, because I'm the pastor, okay, let's all pray. Go ahead. You know, and then they point to me. I make it a nice short prayer. You say, you don't pray, oh God. Call down the fire of heaven, you know. Lord, there's lost people here today, and they're going to die and bust hell wide open. They might even have a heart attack while we're eating, and Lord, that'd be so sad. I pray that, Lord, that those who need Jesus right now get saved. They don't need that. Amen? Have you ever watched people while one person is praying? You've ever watched everybody else kind of like this, and everybody's going, I don't want to be that guy. Amen? Everybody knows they can ask me a Bible question, and I'll help them with it, but I don't preach when it's time to pray. My prayer is, thank you, Lord, for the food. Wonderful to be together. Lord, bless the food, and thank you for it, and thank you for our family. It's going to go something like that, and it's about that short. Amen? It's not my opportunity to get stuff off my chest and grind axes and all that. Proverbs, as a matter of fact, yeah, watch this. Listen, Proverbs 12:14, a man shall be satisfied with good by the fruit of his mouth. And the recompense of a man's hand shall be rendered unto him. Proverbs 18:20, listen to this verse. A man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth, and with the increase of his lips shall he be filled. Be careful what you talk about. Number two, don't expect your non-spiritual family members to understand spiritual things. Don't expect the unsaved to understand your saved behavior. They think differently. They talk differently. They walk differently. Okay? I don't support Santa Claus. I don't like Christmas the way the world celebrates it. I think as a Bible believer, you ought to know Jesus wasn't born this time of year. Okay? But I like putting the emphasis on it, and I like the songs, and I like the... What are you going to do? Well, I'm not taking it off in December because Jesus was born in September, and I'm taking 2 weeks. You're not taking time off other than when your boss gives you time off, and you ain't changing the system. Just know the difference as far as what you believe. I don't like Santa Claus. I don't like lying to children saying, look what Santa brought you. I've told you before. I want my kids to know who thought of you and who God touched their heart to give you something, and you say thank. Santa Claus doesn't get a thank you. The person that spent money on you gets a thank you. Okay? So I may not like Santa Claus, but I don't think you ought to, you know, when you visit the family's house, if they have a sleigh in the front yard, you shouldn't go out at midnight and light it on fire either. You know what I mean? It's Satan Claus. Just move the T. Okay, here we go. Be careful. Number three. Ready? When you spend several days in another family member's house, maintain your Bible reading and your prayer. I told you before, it takes a lot of discipline to maintain your walk with God in a new environment. Be careful about letting family members babysit your kids. There's some family members that might have your kids get them a beer from the refrigerator. I didn't want my kids exposed to that. If a family members do babysit your kids, then have them do it at your house, possibly, you know, where you're free to give them guidelines about what happens in your house and what doesn't. Be careful about, if you visit family members during the holidays, you learn this. Short visits are always better than long visits. Long visits give time for discontentment and griping. Sometimes a nice short visit is best. There's no time to argue. You get to enjoy each other, but you don't have to get involved in any conflicts or, you know, things that can cause disruption. Limiting your visit sometimes is best for them. It gives them less to gripe about. So be careful. Be careful. I'm just trying to help you think through it. My wife and I had to do that. Like, for instance, did we ever spend the night with family at Christmas? We didn't. Now, our family was 45 minutes from, and we went there for the holidays, but we didn't spend the night. Didn't spend the night. You say, why? Because we found short visits this year keep everybody happy. So sometimes a little forethought with that, okay? You might have to seclude yourself and family members because you don't need to be around the influence so much. Some of your lost family members need to see you just once in a while so they don't gripe at you. Amen. Number four, don't create situations where spiritual matters are presented to lost or carnal family members. Find out their interests that are clean and ask them about what they do. You know, I had one family member and he liked to talk about the women and stuff like this. So I found out he had a job, a shoreman. And I was like, hey, did you learn any good knots with that? You know, and boy, did you learn how to tie? Oh, yeah, I can tie rope. And I get him going on other stuff when he wanted to talk. Find out what they do that's clean. And you might have to direct the conversation. You might not want everybody talking about what they want to talk about. So you learn to create. Don't you do that when you go soul winning? Isn't that one thing soul winning teaches? If somebody wants to bring up a subject, you go, that's a good question. We'll get back to that, but let's stay on the point. You have to redirect conversations. That's good stuff, okay? You can apply that. Don't get involved in any conversations that create tension. I'm not teaching you how to be a compromiser. It's just once you've witnessed to somebody, you plant the seed and it's God that gives the increase. Amen. So you pray for them, but be careful. I think a little forethought. I think people think, well, I'm around family, so it's kind of like everything gets let go. And you can't do that. You do that, and you'll leave, and you'll have regrets. And it'll be like, this shouldn't have happened, and this shouldn't have happened. A little forethought going into it says, okay, here's how we're going to conduct ourselves. Here's how we're going to handle this. Be careful about what advice you ask your family members about. I didn't need any of my family members' advice on how to rear my kids. Their biggest gripe is that we didn't have a TV. I had two family members that wanted to say, hey, you don't have a TV, because there were other family members that were upset we didn't have a TV in our house with our kids. And so I had this one family member, and I'm trying not to be specific here, okay? He pulled me aside and he said, hey, when it comes to raising your kids, you know, I had two lectures on having a TV in my house. I just let him talk. I didn't say, well, that's a television. I'm telling you, the hell comes right through that. It was Lot's window every morning he opened his tent and saw Sodom and Gomorrah. And I'm telling you that I didn't do that. I just let him talk. You ever seen Garfield, right, in the back of the window? Just smile and nod your head and let them yap. Amen. They want to give you all types of advice on it doesn't matter what happened with their kids, but they want to give you all advice on how to raise your kids. You just, okay, okay, okay. And then you go your merry way and go eat some more food at the reunion. Amen. I'm learning how to conduct yourself. How about this? Number five, family at the holidays. There's only one conversation that you don't need to avoid, and that is salvation, right? If somebody's asking, you can look for opportunities. I don't like hearing people say, boy, this year, you know, I've heard one family member say, this year was such a rough year, I just wanted to die. That's sad. I can kind of I pray then, and I'm like, Lord, is there something I can say here that would help? Because God, I can hear them making hopeless statements like that, and sometimes I can play off of that, okay? Not all the time, but sometimes I can play off of that. Make sure you don't embarrass family members by talking to them about salvation. Make sure you always do it privately. It's good. Hey, can I talk to you for a second? If you feel the Lord's leading you to do that, don't do it in front of everybody. Always do it one-on-one. An old soul winner taught me that. Lost people don't like the authority of the Word of God. Standards are offensive to lost. They don't like God's standards. They don't want God's authority. And the closer you get to God, the more you want God, what God wants, and the more you want to live right. So please remember, the devil uses all of the standards and restrictions in the Christian life to keep lost people away. Right? So don't talk about anything spiritual until they get saved, and then don't avoid salvation. How about this? Number six, don't give up on any family member. Remember, it's like when we were soul winning yesterday. We're now in the second. It took us 4 years to knock on what we could tell was, I know they're building new houses, but it took us 4 years to knock on all the houses in our area. We're now doing it for the second time. We have to leave the door open. The person I got to go soul winning with yesterday, they'd never been door knocking. I said, when I go to a door, I said, I have to realize if Jesus tarries, we'll be coming by this door again. So if they don't want to listen or however they respond, you just, hey, have a good day. And you have to learn to leave the door open. I would hate for the next soul winner to come by after I leave and go, oh, Gospel Light Baptist Church? Yeah, I've spoken to you all before. I have to leave a good taste in their mouth. We live here, right? We live in the... So you have to learn to leave the door open with your family. Learn to leave the door open, okay? You don't have to copy them and act like them, but you can love them and care about them. Learn how to live around them. If there's rudeness said or done, make sure it's them that's rude, not you. If you must defend, then politely defend. But boy, be careful about starting a war in family. I'll say it again. As a pastor, you learn the art of keeping your mouth shut. And if people aren't asking, do I see things that destroy people? I see it all the time. But if they're not asking my help, if I interject and say, hey, what, yeah, trust me, yeah, I think we could whittle the crowd down to about, you know, maybe five or six in here. If people aren't asking your opinion, they don't care. If they want to know what you think, or if they want your counsel, or if they want your opinion, they'll ask. Other than that, you just learn to avoid. You learn to steer clear. You're not learning to be a compromiser as much as you're just learning to not start a war. Is everywhere you go the house burning when you leave? You know what I mean? Be careful. I know some people that are like that.
Well, I just had to take my stand and told them like it was.
I'm glad you did, but you realize that you've done that every year for about 6 years. Don't start a war. Don't start a war when you don't have to. How about this? Don't let them influence you so you become unspiritual. You don't have to stay in the living room when they play the movie you would never want. There were several things they wanted to watch on the TV that we didn't want our kids to see. So we would, everybody, hey, let's go into the kitchen and get a snack. hour and a half, 2 hour snack. But Daddy, I'm full.
Eat another cracker.
We're not going in the living room while they play the movie. While they're playing that, we don't want to be around that. We're not available at that time. We're going to go do something else. Be careful. Don't work so hard at being non-offensive though that you do wrong. You're going to have to take a stand in some cases. Just be careful and be led of the Holy Spirit when you do so. Dancing and wine should not have your participation. But it's amazing what takes place in family, in the name of family.
Well, we just do it every Christmas, you know.
Careful what you do in the name of family. Don't do wrong in the name of family. Don't work so hard at being unoffensive that you offend God. Okay, don't forget that. Instead, because you caved in, instead of wisely and carefully declining what's going on. How about this? Don't be too spiritual in your gift giving with people who wouldn't appreciate it. I think a Bible is a nice gift, but if you've already given them four Bibles, a Bible every year, and they're still not going to church, you might want to stop. You know, you might want to give them something else. I'm all for giving spiritual gifts, but be careful. Okay, if you tell somebody, you know, hey, this year I got your wife's
10 modest dresses for Christmas.
You understand? It's a backdoor slap, right? It's like,
yeah, nothing that shows no cleavage. Got her some spiritual.
Does everybody understand? That won't fly. But you say, but I did it for spirit. It's amazing to me what people do in the name of spirituality.
I'm just taking my stand.
You didn't give any thought to that. You didn't give any thought to that, and that's, I'm just trying to help you with that tonight a little bit. Make sure you don't throw gas on the fire. I think there's neutral gifts you can give. Look, every man enjoys a flashlight. I don't know why. They just, every man fears the light could, the power could go out at any moment, and I'll be in the dark. So get him a flashlight. That's a nice neutral gift. Every man likes a cordless drill. I don't know why. Men love cordless. They just walk around the house looking for something to fix. They'll do it for about a day, and the battery will die. And then they'll, I'm just saying there's neutral gifts you can give. Kind of little think in the neutral area if you need to. There's gifts you can give people that don't contribute to their wrong behavior. There's this, you know. This gift giving can apply to birthdays, anniversaries. Okay, you can't fix everything because sometimes some family members just have a chip on their shoulder and they're bitter people. You have to be able to tell that. You can't fix everything because sometimes it's been your legitimate mistakes that you needed to take the blame for and apologize. When I got saved, I was a bull in a china closet. People had asked me something, and I'd only been saved about 6 months, and I went home for the first time, and man, I would roll over everybody, give them 15 Bible verses on, boy, God's word says this, and blah, blah, blah. I mean, boom, boom, boom. And when they were done, like, they wouldn't have any hair, and their eyebrows are singed off. And I finally learned you don't have to do that. I learned the hard way, and I'd like to pass on a little bit of experience. Can you take your Bible and go to Proverbs 25, verse 11? Proverbs 25, verse 11. As the Lord teaches you, as you read his word, look at a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and pictures of silver. There's only one way that I can talk the right way and to myself the right way. I yield to them. Because my flesh wants to take what they're doing wrong and shove this in their face. And I don't care. I'm taking my stand for it. I've been there before. And I've learned you can do that in the flesh under a guise of spirituality, but God never leads God. Okay, God leads you to witness and glorify him. And if somebody doesn't want it, God won't lead you to witness to them anyways.
We'll just put it in their face.
Well, if they don't want it, I have other people I can talk with. Amen? I don't have to talk to that person. That's like somebody sent me a picture. They were on an airplane. And Anderson Cooper from CNN was sitting across the aisles. They took a picture of him. Well, he's a homosexual. And the text said, I almost gave him a track, but I didn't want him to spit on me. That's what the text said. They had the thought, I think they prayed before, Lord, I'll give anybody a gospel track.
Would you witness to Hillary Clinton?
Yes, I would witness to Hillary Clinton. Hillary Clinton doesn't want to be witnessed to. She's a reprobate. She's an evil person. But she'd probably let you show her anything out of the Bible if you give her your vote. She'd put up with anything you want to say. She's been doing that. The Rodhams are filthy. Everybody up in Washington, D.C. knows that. There's a lot of nasty people. I mean, I'm just saying, if they don't want to listen, it's not my job to make them listen. I need to go find the one God has for me. And having that spirit and that attitude helps keep wars and conflicts down. I need to be led of the Holy Spirit. I want to speak words that are fitly spoken. How about this? You're in Proverbs chapter 25. Go to chapter 4. Ready? Chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4. Wisdom. Look at verse 7. Proverbs 4:7. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And with all thy getting, get understanding. All I did tonight was I took a family setting that could be volatile if you don't use what? How do you get wisdom? God answers that question. Proverbs chapter, I'll turn to chapter 2 and look at verse 6. Proverbs chapter 2, verse number 6. For the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge. And where do you get with reading your? It takes a lot of wisdom to yourself around unspiritual family member without turning it into a war zone. Can you take your stand and go through there with a steamroller and, you know, be the bull in the china closet and let everybody know where? Yeah, I guess you can. I really think if you'll pray and ask the Lord for wisdom, God, give me insight. Help me see things the way you see them. Help me represent you. I believe God will help you to stay in His Word. This is where God gives wisdom. Out of His mouth, His Word, God gives. Conduct yourself wise. What does it say of Daniel? All the whole time he was in Babylon, behaved himself wise. He had a I hope I could pass that on to you tonight and encourage you. I think we ought to spend time. I love the holidays for spending time with. I do enjoy, but I'm careful. You say you want eggshells? Not with the Lord, but I'm careful. I'm careful, and I'd like to pass that on. Let's pray. Father, thank you for, Lord, you do give us wisdom, but I know we have to want it, and we have to be seeking. So please.